Amen. If you have your Bible, open with me to the book of Revelation, chapter number 11. Revelation, chapter number 11. And while you find your place, Brother Rob and Miss Abby, if y'all will just stand up with Mr. Cohen. Cohen is here today for the first time. 3 weeks and 1 day old. Amen. So praise the Lord. They're here today. Hallelujah. And then just a few more announcements I needed to make that I forgot to tell Brother Terrell this morning. Anybody who would like to visit Miss Staten, me and Mary spoke to her on the phone yesterday, and she said if anybody wanted to come by and see her, that'd be fine. So Mary has her address. So if you would like to see her, and then for Red Robin tonight, and for the Pigeon Forge trip, the first Saturday in April, if there's anybody that doesn't have the money for that, please come talk to us, and we'll try to help you with that. We want everybody who can to be able to go. And so please, if there's anybody, and if Revelation chapter number 11. Revelation chapter number 11, starting in verse number 3. Let's pray, and then I'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for your good grace and your good mercy. I pray, Lord, that you'll help today to preach your word and bring our hearts together in the unity of the Holy Ghost and speak to every person. And I pray for every one of us, God, is every one of us are just sinners in need of the help of God. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for your great salvation and your great mercy. I pray, Lord Jesus, if there's anybody here today that's not saved, that you will bring them under conviction and that they would meet you in this altar in repentance and faith and that they will get right with God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for those who are born again, perhaps away from you this morning. I pray, dear Lord, that you would work in their heart and that they would get things right with you. And Lord, for those who are trying to serve you with all their heart, but Lord, the battles or the difficulties or the problems rage. Lord Jesus, I pray you would help in whatever circumstances of every person today. I pray that you will just minister your grace and help every person in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter number 11, I'd like to read from verse number 3, and I will read all the way through verse number 14. And I will give power, this is God talking here. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God, glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Some weeks ago, I don't remember exactly how many weeks ago, but as I was sitting right here in a service, the Lord put this message on my heart that I needed to preach it one day soon. And so I began to pray. And the context of what is taking place here is in the book of Revelation. In chapter 1 through chapter 4, verse 1, you have the time frame when the church is here on earth. And then in chapter 4, you have the come up hither, and the church is called out into the heavens. And from that time, you don't find the church on earth again in the book of Revelation until chapter 19, when she comes back in the revelation at the marriage supper with the Son of God. And during that time frame, from chapter 4 through chapter number 19, you have great judgments that are coming on this earth from God. And that period of time is called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's called the tribulation period. And in that tribulation period, there will be these two witnesses that are referenced here that are sent. Some believe that it's Moses and Elijah. Some believe it's Samuel and Elijah. Some believe it's Enoch and Elijah. There's a lot of different speculations here. But the thing that's important to bring out this morning is not who these two men are. But what I would like to bring out, if you'll notice with me again, in verse number 7. The Bible said, and when they shall have finished their testimony. And those words, they gripped my heart. And when they shall have finished their testimony. These men were sent by God for a certain purpose to accomplish His will, that the will of the Lord would be done. They were sent for a specific task. And these words here. And when they shall have finished their testimony. As you look into that meaning of this word finished, it also means to have accomplished. So, for example, when the Son of God died on the cross before He gave up the ghost, what did He say? It is finished. So what did He do? He accomplished our salvation in His own blood. Amen. He finished it. It was a done deal. And these men, it said, and when they shall have finished their testimony. And so today I'm thinking about our testimony. I'm thinking about my testimony. I'm thinking about your testimony. I'm thinking about Tabernacle Baptist Church's testimony. What is this testimony? It comes from the word testify or to bear record. So what does my life for the Son of God bear record of? What does your life for the Son of God bear record of? I would ask this. What does Tabernacle Baptist Church bear record of? What is our testimony? And not only that, but I would ask, what is our testimony before men? So do men identify us as someone who seeks to walk with the Lord, that seeks to honor the Lord, that seeks to carry out His word, to obey Him, to execute His counsel, as the Bible said? And then not only what do men say, because you find right here in this passage of scripture, there was a bunch of men. And when these two preachers died, well, they celebrated. So our testimony is not only alone at what does men say, but more than that, remember the Apostle Paul. He said, it's a light thing for me to be judged of you. He said that he's more concerned of what God's going to say. Yep. So now my question is not only what is our testimony before man, but we are certainly accountable before man to live out and to obey the word of God. But deeper than that, I would ask today, and may the Holy Spirit search our hearts, what is our testimony before God? You see, He knows all things. The Bible in Revelation chapter 1, it talks about Him and His eyes were like fire. You know, those eyes of fire, they can try us and they can see straight through us. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4 that His word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now that's quite a fine cut, would you not say? Yes. And that's what the word of God can do. And so today I'm curious about our testimony. My testimony, your testimony. We should wake up every day seeking to have a testimony to live for God, attempting to obey Him. Are you going to come short? Absolutely. Am I going to come short? You better believe it. But every day, as the Apostle Paul said, he died daily. He strove. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I don't believe I've arrived, and none of us have arrived. But he said that he follows after, if that by any means he may apprehend that for which also he is apprehended of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That we might accomplish, that we might finish our testimony. And so if you'll look with me in verse number 7, it said, when they shall have finished their testimony, when they shall have finished their testimony. There's also this wording here about in the book of Hebrews, talking about the New Testament in His blood, in Jesus Christ's blood. The New Testament in His blood. Truly, our testimony will not be known until we die. I mean, we have a present testimony of what we're doing. I have a testimony of what my past was before I got saved, and so forth. But our true testimony, the full testimony of my life and of your life and of Tabernacle Baptist Church, the full testimony will not be completed until all is finished. And notice what it said here, when they shall have finished their testimony. In the book of Hebrews, it refers to the New Testament, which is in His blood, in Jesus Christ's blood. And you see, a testament, it has no authority without the what? Without the death of the testator. So the New Testament, although Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, and he was preaching and teaching these things that were more than what was under the law. But these things, when did they come into full effect? At His death. And the New Testament, the Bible said, which is in His blood. And so I'm thinking this morning about these words, when they shall have finished their testimony. Right now, you're still in the middle of your testimony. I'm still in the middle of my testimony until I die or until you die. And so this morning, by the grace of God, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will search all our hearts. What is our testimony? Well, the first thing that I have a question about this morning is, what is our testimony of salvation? What are you trusting for salvation? What am I trusting for salvation? The Bible tells us the magnificent truth of the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, nay, I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Yep. He tells us that all are sinners and come short of the glory of God. He tells us that we can be justified freely by His grace. He tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
What is your testimony of salvation? Is it about something you've done? Your church membership, or your baptism, or your denomination, or your heritage, or how much money you give, or what we do, or where we go, or who we are. No, it's by none of that. It's not by whatever I do, whatever I give, wherever I go, whatever. I can never save myself. You can never save yourself. Salvation is by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, yes, not of works, lest any man should boast. What are you trusting for salvation?
Yes.
Brother Clifford Stewart, when Mary and I, we got back from Asia, and we come to Brother Clifford Stewart's funeral. He died shortly after we got back to the States. And as we sat here in his funeral, which was right here in this auditorium, I remembered his own testimony. He attended Tabernacle Baptist Church for 3 years under Dr. Seitler and believed that he was not a sinner. Until one day, Dr. Seitler was preaching the Word of God, and Brother Clifford Stewart seen himself guilty before God. And he came to this altar and got saved. What's your testimony of salvation? Your story may be different than mine, and my story may be different than yours. It's not the dramatics of our story. I wish I didn't have the testimony that I had. I wish I didn't cause my family the harm that I did. I wish I didn't hurt my mother and father like I did. Last night I was talking to Brother Holder, and he talked about some people don't want to share their testimony because they weren't in prison when they got saved, or they weren't in a gang when they got saved, or they weren't a drug dealer when they got saved, or they weren't a criminal when they got saved. I like the testimonies of little boys and little girls getting saved by the grace of God and being delivered from all of that garbage and never having gone down that road. What's your testimony of salvation? It's not about, does the story match mine or yours? It's not about, would it be a bestseller book? What it's about is your faith anchored in Jesus Christ? Have you trusted His gospel for salvation? And deeper than that, have you trusted His death, burial, and resurrection is sufficient to save you without adding anything else? What is your testimony of salvation? But then I think about our testimony of being a servant. I remember hearing a preacher preach in this pulpit when I was in Bible college. And he made a statement. And he said, we all say we want to be a servant. He said, but how do we act when somebody treats us like one? That was probably one of the most convicting statements I've ever heard about being a servant. Because that'll show the pride of my heart and the pride of other people's hearts. Are we truly a servant? The Apostle Paul called himself the prisoner of the Lord. Paul Chappell, I was reading after him, and he said this. He said, I have never met a contentious servant. Can you imagine somebody saying they're the servant of God and they fight everything he says or does? Sadly, I would say we're all guilty of having fought God.
Yes.
May God have mercy.
Yes.
May we humble our heart to truly be His servant. Are you His servant? Am I His servant? Is Tabernacle Baptist Church identified as His servants? Oh, my friend, I am so thankful for the heritage of this place. But we can't live off of that. The Lord Jesus Christ said, and I believe it was to the church of Sardis, but I may be mistaken. He said the thing that He had against them was that they had a name that they lived and were dead. You know what they were doing? They were living off a name that they once had and they don't have anymore. May God help us to be servants, to have a strong testimony of salvation according to the Bible. But not only that, a testimony of a servant according to the Bible. Philippians chapter 2 tells us about a servant. It tells us that a servant, that I'm supposed to esteem you better than me. That I'm supposed to care more about your welfare than mine. That I'm to suffer the loss for the advancement of you. But what's really interesting is that when you have a bunch of servants, that's how they all look towards each other.
Yes.
And then when you have these servants who are biblical, you know what you find? You'll find unity in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
May I say this? May we finish our testimony. You know, you don't want to finish without a testimony of salvation.
Yep.
Because you'll die and go to hell.
Amen.
May I say this? If you have the wrong testimony of salvation, then how could you be saved? If you're trusting anything except Jesus Christ. May God help us to have the testimony of being a servant. But then may I go deeper than that into my heart, and probably yours. But what about our testimony of being surrendered to God? You know, Saul was king of Israel. And God had told him what his desires were for him to accomplish. But Saul did not like or approve of what God said. So you know what he did? He made his own way. He did some of what God said in his own way. Do you know what God called that? Rebellion. God is not okay with rebellion.
Amen.
God is not okay with my rebellion.
Yes.
God is not okay with your rebellion.
Yep. Yep.
It's rebellion. The Bible teaches us to keep His word, both in spirit and in truth. He wants our heart to have the right spirit. He wants our life to have the right actions. And He wants us to be surrendered to Him. How many times have I walked out of a place and said, and the Holy Spirit said, go witness to that person. Go give that person a track. Go give that person some money. Go help that person. Go apologize to that person. How many times have I not listened? How many times have you not listened? What's our testimony? And what I'm really concerned about this morning is, what is our testimony before God? But then I think even deeper, what's our testimony of being separated? Separated. Separated, and may I say, sanctified. You see, this word sanctified, it means to be set apart unto God. See, we can separate from anything, but it's of no value if we don't separate unto something. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said that he was separated unto the gospel of God. He didn't just separate and say, well, I don't go there and I don't do that. And by all means, there's plenty of that in the Word of God. But what the Word of God really teaches is that we should separate unto God, and all those things will just be cut right away. Yep. God would have us to be separated unto Him and sanctified unto Him. Does that match what your life is? Does that match what my life is? Oh, I am very well aware that preaching about this is not welcome in many places. But it is in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. God Himself said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord.
Amen.
That is what He desires for our testimony to be. Some people say, well, I don't think that's important. My friend, our opinion is of no value against the Word of God.
Amen.
But I can show how it is important. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. When our life lives this word, it gives power when we speak this word. When our life is complete opposite to this word, it makes us a hypocrite when we speak this word. May I say this? Finishing their testimony, when they shall have finished their testimony, God would have us to be strong. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 said, to be strong in the Lord. Not strong in myself.
Yes.
Not strong in my own way. Not strong in my own desires.
Amen.
No, strong in the Lord.
Amen.
And in the power of His might. To be strong in the Lord. You see, these men were not welcome. These men were hated.
Yep. That's right.
These men, people wished them to die. These are two preachers where they celebrated their death. And I may say that's not an uncommon thing in the Bible. Jezebel, you know what she wanted to happen to Elijah? She wanted him to die. John the Baptist, you know why he got his head cut off? Because he preached God's word and some harlot Jezebel got mad at him. God would have us to be strong in Him. Not mean, not hateful, not rude, not arrogant, but strong in Him. Unwavering, steadfast in His word. As I thought about this, the wording here, and when they shall have finished their testimony, came on my heart to bring out this point about, may God burden our hearts not to sour our testimony.
Yep.
You see, their testimony was finished when they died. And your testimony and my testimony will be finished when we die. I know of and heard of an individual who had a wonderful, wonderful, stunning testimony. It was a lady. She had a powerful testimony. And she touched many lives. And she died. But shortly before she died, she went against every authority that God put to govern and guide her life. She went against her church. She went against the Bible. She went against her preacher. She wouldn't listen to any of them. And she died. And when she died, people sang her praises. But there were those who knew that she didn't finish her testimony right. She soured her testimony. There are even those who said, God took her. May God caution me and you to be careful about our testimony. You know what the Bible said, and I was going to preach this as a separate message and probably will, but God just told me to say this. The Bible said not to take the Lord's name in vain. And people always talk about, they think that's just referring to their speech. I disagree. You see, when we say we're a Christian, what are we doing? We're taking the Lord's name upon us.
Yep.
And the Bible said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Yep.
May God help me, you, and all of us not to take His name in vain. You know what the Bible said about those that take the name of the Lord in vain? He will not allow them to be guiltless. They will bear that guilt. God have mercy on me, on us. Think about finishing a testimony being spirit-filled. You hear of the saints who suffered. And they died singing. They died praising God. They died lifting up His name. Blessing His name. They died praising Him.
Amen.
May I say this? May our testimony be sweet. Oh, I love reading about Daniel in the den of lions. There he was and the lions were all around. And Daniel was there facing death. And the king come and cried out to Daniel with a lamentable voice, O Daniel, is thy God that thou servest able to deliver thee? And Daniel cried out, and he didn't charge the king. He didn't speak hatefully to the king. You know what he did? He said, O king, live forever. He said, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. And he delivered me. May I say this? May our testimony be scriptural.
Yes.
There is only one book from heaven that God sent to teach you and I how to follow Him.
Yes.
And may what we do be scriptural.
Yes.
I think about those saints. Their testimony is they have a song. Everywhere they go, they're singing. They're full of joy. They're full of peace. I think about those testimonies of those that are surety. They're faithful. You can rely on them. They don't bend. They don't budge. I think of those that have the testimony of supplication and prayer. They say, Percy Ray, me and Mary were listening to a message one day by Brother Ron Ralph. He was preaching on being filled with the Spirit. He brought out a point. He said, Percy Ray said, everybody knew that when Percy Ray prayed, God was going to answer. He said, one man come down to the altar after church one morning when Percy Ray preached. And they said, the man come to the altar and said, Brother Ray, I'm addicted to smoking. Will you pray that God will give me the victory? said, Brother Ray looked at the man and said, well, sure, son. They got down in the altar and said, Brother Ray threw his arm around the guy. And he cried, big old guy. And he called out to God and said, oh, God! Just like that. The guy's eyes got really, really big. And Percy Ray said, oh, God, if he touches another cigarette, kill him, God! The guy's eyes got really big like that. He got the victory over smoking. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. We'll start reading in verse number 17 through verse number 21. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. May God give us a submissive spirit to Him.
Yes.
To yield to Him.
Hey.
That He can have His way in my life and in your life. What if God's will goes against your plans? What if God's will goes against my plans? You see, God has a specific purpose in your life and mine. He has something He wants to accomplish. He has specific people that you can influence. Or that I can influence. Or witness to. God selects a specific person. For that specific purpose.
Yep.
I heard the testimony yesterday of Billy Sunday. I never heard it before. But years and years ago, there was a preacher in Chicago that was asleep in the middle of the night. The Holy Ghost woke him up in the middle of the night and said, go preach down at the Chicago train station. The preacher said, God wouldn't tell me to do that. It's the middle of the night. And he went back to sleep. Two more times, the Holy Ghost said, get up. Go preach down at the Chicago train station. Go preach the gospel. The preacher got up and drove down to downtown Chicago and got down to the train station. Said there was nobody there. But he preached the gospel and gave an invitation. As if he was preaching to a group full of people. And he went home and went to sleep. Years and years later, he went to hear the great evangelist, Billy Sunday, preach. And Billy Sunday gave his testimony and said, I was there that night at the Chicago train station and I heard a voice. I don't know where he was standing out. I couldn't see him and he couldn't see me. But he preached the gospel and led me to the Lord and I got saved. And it was years and years and years later. Before that preacher ever understood why God woke him up in the middle of the night and told him to go preach down at the train station. God has a specific purpose in my life or your life. He has a specific person he wants to use, a specific people he wants to reach. May I say this? This is a serious thing to ponder. This is a serious thing to consider. We're either going to go with God or against God. The book of Amos said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, God is not going to agree with you and me.
Yep.
We have to agree with Him.
Yep.
May I say this? This should be our spiritual priority. Our testimony. Of course, it's important, our testimony before men, but I'm speaking in context, our testimony before God. May I say this? Some people say, well, they're afraid. They're afraid they might end up somewhere. They might end up in some dangerous place or some scary place or some place they don't want to go. May I say there's a sovereign protection. The Lord said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, He said, I've set before thee an open door. And He said, no man can shut it. He said, I am He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Not the Chinese police. Nobody. May I say this? There's a scriptural path that God wants us to walk. When we die, what's going to be our testimony? I don't think he knows it unless Jesus told him. I'm sure y'all do. I mention it all the time. But knowing Brother Bob Garrett touched my life like never before. A man who could pray 8 sentences and you could feel the power of God all around. He walked with God. He walked according to the Bible. May I say this? When we submit ourselves, surrender ourselves, and yield ourselves to go His direction, there will be a sweet peace. A satisfaction that we're in His will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. They accomplished what God sent them to do.
Yes.
What does God want me to do? What does God want you to do? May He lead us today. Amen. Let's stand together. If the Lord spoke to your heart, the altar's open. Heavenly Father, may the will of the Lord be done, and may you be glorified. Search our hearts. Lead, guide, and direct. We love you so much, Lord. Thank you for your blessings and your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring the saints before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Amen. Amen. See y'all tonight. Have a good afternoon.